Our Father and our God, we just thank you for the fellowship tonight. And as we just exhort one another, the Bible says, as you see the day approaching, exhort one another, lest any of you be, their hearts be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin and so forth. So Lord, we thank you tonight. Give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to talk about something that is very fundamental to our faith and very fundamental to our very salvation. And it is, you know, one of the things where, and by the grace of God, we'll be talking about it more later on. But, you know, just remind us tonight, we've talked about it before, and it's not a new subject. In fact, you know, the Apostle John, when he was writing, he said, look, a new commandment I write unto you. Yet it's not a new commandment, but the same one that you heard before, that ye love one another. Amen. But I want to talk about an aspect of that love tonight, which is a little bit different, you know, but, you know, the love we know. But I want to talk about the forgiveness aspect, you know. So now let's look at it. Let's just talk for a few minutes. Let's look at love and forgiveness for just a few minutes. Now, some people say, well, you know, I love you, but, you know, I can't forgive, you know. And it happens even in marriages, you know. Husband says the wife's done something against them, they can't forgive. The wife says the husband's done something against them, they can't forgive. But they say, well, yeah, I love my wife, you know, I love my husband and so forth. Well, let's take a look at that. Now, can you forgive truly from all of your hearts? And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But I think if the love, if we truly love one another, it becomes easier to forgive. So the love actually and the forgiveness, they go together. I mean, those of us that have children or spouses or families, because the Bible says, you know, there's a reason why, you know, he puts even the solitary in families. When we have these relationships, it's easier to forgive because of the love that we have to our loved ones, you know. And you know, so, but that's very key. It's very, very key. One time, we're just going to talk, and I will give some scriptures, but we'll just talk. One time, you know, Jesus was talking to the people, his disciples, and I was telling them a number of things. And in the book of Matthew chapter 6, he was talking to them and said, look, you know, I'm going to give you a new standard. I'm going to give you a new commandment, or I'm going to show you a higher standard. You have heard of it said of old time that you do it this way and you do it that way. You have heard of it said of old time that you do it this way and you do it that way. And, you know, he said, look, you have heard it said of old time, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. Or otherwise, love your friends and hate your enemies. And so Jesus said, you know, he said, you heard it. That's the way they used to say it. He said, but I tell you a new way. Amen. Love your enemies and do what? Do what? Pray for those that do what? Despitefully use you. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 6 and quickly read that scripture as we discuss some of these scriptures tonight. Just some things, and then we'll bring it out to see how it affects, you know, our faith and even our standing in the Lord. You know, so I'm going to start at Matthew chapter 5, actually. I said chapter 6, but it's chapter 5. Matthew 5, let's read from verse 44. Matthew 5 from 44 or 43. You have heard it said of, you know, in the past, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, look at Jesus' own way of doing things. You know, no more that eye for eye, tooth for tooth kind of stuff. In the earlier verses, he talks about those eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth thing also. But now he said, look, it's a new standard. Love your enemies. Well, it's easy to love your friends, so it's not talking about that one. But love your enemies. And he said in another place, said, look, if you do good only to those that do good unto you, you are no better than the sinners or unbelievers, because everybody will do good to those that do good unto them. But if you do good to those that hate you, and if you pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you, then you're really, you know, looking for a closer walk with God. Amen. Amen, folks?
Amen.
Now, there is real power behind true forgiveness. Sometimes prayers are hindered, prayers are blocked, prayers may be delayed, or even prayers are ineffective because of this subject of unforgiveness. So, you know, because of all of these subjects that Jesus was teaching his disciples, you know, Peter, willing to justify himself, he said, well, but how many times shall I forgive my brother if he sinned against me? Seven times. You know, and the Lord just took his words and said, well, not exactly seven times. You know, I know if he had said 10 times, the Lord might have said not 10 times, but, you know, maybe he would have said 100 times, 10 times. But because he said seven times, he said, well, not seven times, but 70 times, seven times. You know, and that's a lot of times. You know, but, you know, and I was thinking about something like that today, and in my mind, I visualized there's a stack of, you know, there's just a stack of something, you know, kind of like this, those little things. I don't know what they're called when they go into the, you know, those kids' places and they give them these things to,
Lego?
No, not Lego, but they go to Chuck E. Cheese or whatever, and they can buy some of the tokens. So there's, you know, I visualize a set of tokens. So let's assume that there are, you know, a set of tokens. And the Lord gives us a set, and he has an equal number of tokens, you know. And the more that, maybe you start out with just a few tokens because, and those tokens represent our sins. You know, maybe you start out with, everybody starts out with some because, you know, of the Adamic nature. And then all through our life, you know, pile up some sins and so forth. So someday, you know, we heard about the Lord and so forth. We started to pray and to teach us something, you know, so, you know, and then the Lord said, okay, cool. You know, every time that you forgive somebody, I'm going to take one token off the rack, you know, and every time you don't forgive, I will put something back on the rack. You know, pretty soon you're going to find out that, you know, if the way that we forgive, I mean, if the way that God forgives us is the way that we forgive, all of us are going to be in trouble. How many of you think that's true? Hello? Well, let's look at the so-called Lord's Prayer. I think some of the most wonderful teachings that the Lord gave are in those so-called Lord's Prayer. And there are various renditions of it. You know, I like the one in Luke better. But, you know, even in Matthew, he talks about, and all of us know this prayer. I'm sure all of us can even read it off without looking at it. Teach us to pray, the disciples said, and he went through a pattern, It's not something to be repeated. You know, most of us, some people repeat it. No, it's just a pattern. We start with, you know, praise and worship our Heavenly Father. Hallowed be thy name. Then we talk about the things that are uppermost in God's heart. Thy kingdom come, soul winning, and things like that. Your will be done on earth and all of that. And then when we've done all of that, then we go into our, you know, needs and our relationships and so forth. But there's a critical place where it talks about forgive us our sins. Forgive us our sins as we forgive, just like we forgive. And in Luke, he says, forgive us our sins since we forgive our other people that sin against us. Say, well, you know, now I noticed that even in this church, when we come for service, when we have that prayer segment, I notice that people stand up, ask, let us pray that God forgive our sins and so forth. And I notice that people pray that a lot, you know, forgive our sins. Every time we come into prayer, forgive our sins and so forth. One day I was just thinking about it. I was in the back. Somebody was saying, well, forgive our sins and so forth. I said, well, that's wonderful. But he's not going to forgive your sins if you didn't forgive. You know, that may sound strange or sacrilegious to some people, but that's the truth. You know, rather than praying that God should forgive our sins, you know, we need to pray the way that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And the way he taught the disciples to pray is, Lord, forgive us our sins because, see, as we forgive, since we forgive, because we also forgive others of their sins. That means that if you don't forgive, you really can't lay claim to God's forgiveness. Are you still with me? We're just discussing today. Are you still with me? Answer me back, please. Praise the Lord. Let's look at a few scriptures. Classic story in Matthew chapter 18. I'm just talking tonight. I don't want to preach, make it look too preachy. But classic story in Matthew 18 where Jesus was describing this topic of forgiveness. And he told the story of the servant that owed his master 10,000 talents. Well, if you look it up in New Day terminology, that's a lot of hundreds of thousands of dollars or pounds. A lot of money. You know, assuming a talent was an ounce of silver, that could be a lot of money today, in today's market. You know, and when he couldn't pay, his master ordered him to be thrown into jail. But he came worshiping and begging and saying, Lord, have mercy on me and so forth. And the man had compassion on him. And he felt sorry for him and he let him go. How many of us know the story? All right. And as soon as he let him go, now this same servant now went around and found somebody that owed him a fraction of what he himself owed. You know, it's 10,000 talents versus one penny. It's a little thing that the other guy owed him. You know, and he said, look, pay me what I got. Come into me. And the guy said, well, I'm sorry. Things are hard for me right now. I can't pay. He said, well, you got to pay. You know, so he hauls him into jail, you know, until he should pay all. And one day I was laughing about that story. And I was like, how in the world is he going to be able to pay when he's in jail? I mean, you know how much they pay people in jail, even if they work there? It's nothing. They don't pay their minimum wage, even in America, you know, because they've lost their rights. You know, and when he was free, he couldn't pay, and then you hurl him to jail, how is he going to pay? But he held him by the neck, too, we're told. He strangulated him, you know, strangled him, and got him thrown into jail. The master heard about it. Actually, some of his fellow servants went and reported the case. And then his master heard about it and called him and said, thou wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired of me. Shouldn't you also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had compassion on thee? And the Lord was wroth. His master was wroth against him. And he reversed. Folks, you know, one brother one time said, well, that's not the case. Well, he reversed the forgiveness. He did too. And he said, well, because you did not forgive your fellow servant, even though I forgave you, your forgiveness is canceled. That's a serious situation. And not only that, he said, deliver him to the tormentors. Now, that could give us some secret about why some things may be happening in some areas. To deliver somebody to the tormentors? Wow. You know. But that's a, read the story for yourself in Matthew 18. Now, and he said, yes, sir. You have a question?
I have something to say about that, that portion that says, forgive us our sin as we forgive.
Yes.
And the way that we are leading God instead of God leading us, is there any way that we can pray, Lord, to say that, Lord, teach us to forgive?
Correct.
As you forgive us. Not for, I mean, for us to say, Lord, forgive us as, I mean, Lord, forgive us as we forgive our sin.
Well,
and we don't forgive. Many times we don't forgive.
That's right.
But that story shows that, I mean, you see that story that man did not forgive. So why should we, is there any way to, I mean, correct that prayer that we should be praying that, Lord, teach us to forgive as you forgive our trespasses?
Yes, thank you. Father, I was going to come to that very good question. We should pray, you know, sometimes that's the way I actually pray, and I'm praying about forgiveness. I say, Lord, help me to forgive those that I have ought against, you know, because that's what we really need. Because this prayer is very simple. The measure that you meet shall be measured to you again. Amen. Amen, folks. I know it's tough, but so we don't like to say amen. But it's the truth. You know, if you do not forgive, this prayer says, forgive to the measure that you forgive. I mean, you are forgiven to the measure that you forgive. You know, so we really should not be praying, you know. Some people just pray the prayer and say, you know, let's all come before the Lord and forgive our sins. You know, so nothing, we withhold our prayer and so forth. And then we pray every time and forgive our sins. But nobody is praying about, you know, trying to make, you know, restitution with their brother. You know, and that's not the way it works. You know, there's no need for you to pray a long prayer of forgiveness. But it's better for you to pray that God should tender your heart to be able to forgive somebody else, rather than spend a whole long of time praying for your forgiveness. If you forgive somebody else, God's going to teach you. You know, God can give you the grace to forgive somebody else. You know, it'd be a lot easier, you know, when you pray that prayer for forgiveness. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. Anybody that has the King James, read it for me, please. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. Anybody?
13?
Yes.
Forbearing
one another,
and forgiving one another, if any man
have a quarrel
against any,
even as Christ
forgave you,
so also do ye. Now, some people read this and say, well, you know, Christ already forgave you, so, you know, all you have to do is just forgive others. Well, that's true. However, Jesus, the end of that story in Matthew chapter 18, he said, so likewise, you know, shall your heavenly Father do unto you. That's the casting him to the tormentors and revoking his forgiveness. So shall your heavenly Father do unto you if you do not from your heart forgive everyone your brother their trespasses. Very serious. So let's read it. Turn to Matthew chapter 18, sorry. And I'm going to just read the last verses. The whole story that I refer to is in that chapter, so you can read it yourself. I don't want to take a lot of time to read it. But when it said from verse 34, and his Lord was wrath and delivered him to the tormentors. Now, Jesus doesn't use idle words. Jesus doesn't give any, you know, stories or parables and so forth that have no meaning. You know, he is the very word himself. So everything he says, he knows exactly what he's talking about. You better take it exactly as he said it. And he delivered this person that would not forgive to the tormentors. You know, and he said, deliver him to the tormentors until you pay all. You know, and I guarantee you, he's going to be there for a long time. You know, so likewise shall my heavenly Father. Notice that. So likewise shall my heavenly, point blank. This is not maybe. This is so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. Now, he's talking to his disciples. He's not talking to unbelievers. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you. If you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Very serious subject. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 12. And let's read verse 20. If anybody has it quickly. And I want to, while we're reading that, somebody also turn to Proverbs chapter 25, verses 21 and 22. Let's read first Romans chapter 12. Anybody have Romans 12 and 20?
Therefore,
if thine enemy
hunger,
feed him.
If he thirst,
give him drink.
For in so doing,
thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Well, you know, you feed him and you give him to eat. Not because you want to heap coals of fire on his head. You know, there's a warning there that I want to give to us. If you are doing it in order to heap coals of fire on his head, your motives are already misplaced. But we're just saying that, well, when you do it, God will take care of business, for vengeance belongs unto the Lord. Now, this scripture was quoted from Proverbs chapter 25. Anybody have Proverbs 25, verses 21 and 22? 25,
21. Right? Proverbs 21, 25, 21,
and 22. Thy enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat.
And if he be thirsty,
give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head.
And the Lord shall reward thee.
That's the part that I want to bring out. Forget the coals of fire. Amen?
Amen,
amen people?
Amen.
Forget that there are some churches that all they do is pray fire over their enemies. Forget that one. That's Old Testament stuff. That doesn't work anymore in these days. You know, Jesus one time told them, you don't know what spirit you have when they say, shall we call fire down? Just because they heard that Elijah did it. Jesus never called fire down on anybody. Amen.
Amen.
The ultimate example. Ultimate example of anything that you can find. Jesus himself. Luke 23. Somebody read for me quickly. Luke 23 and verse 34. The ultimate example. Luke 23:34. Anybody?
Then said Jesus,
Father,
forgive them. For they know not what they do.
Now, before he said that, you should know the passion that he went through, all the things they did to him, spat on him, put thorns on his head, did all kinds of things, called him all kinds of names, nailed him upon the cross, did all these kind of things. But the ultimate example, Father, forgive them. See, now, that's the kind of prayer that we ought to be able to pray if we have quarrel against any or something, you know, somebody doing us some hurt. Father, forgive. Now, I know it's not easy to forgive, especially, you know, when we think that people have wronged us and we've done something, we do everything we can, yet they turn around and say, you know, in the back or whatever, stab me in the back or so on, you know. And I know that even being in the ministry and so forth, and this is something that Lord taught me many years ago. Sometimes I forget, but Lord taught me many, many years ago, you know, right at the time I entered the ministry in 1974. That's right. You know, that look, you can't get everybody to like you. You know, nobody's going to like you. I mean, somebody may, some people may not. You know, as a matter of fact, there's a warning that say, beware if everybody speaks well of you. That's so they did of their false prophets and so forth like that. You know, so, you know, you can't, especially when you have any kind of anointing. That anointing stings the devil. Amen. Amen, folks. It stings the devil. It stirs the devil up. You know, you just be doing everything that the Lord, you believe the Lord tell you to do, and all of a sudden you stare some devils, You know, well, yeah, because that's what the anointing does. They did the same thing. Jesus said, look, if they did this to a green tree, what are they going to do to a dry? No disciple is above his master. You know, they hated Jesus Christ and they crucified him when he told them the truth. You know, when he said, I and my father are one. That's why they crucified him. You know, so you can't, you know, don't worry about, oh, you know, everybody liking you or not liking. You know, it's not going to happen. You know, but after we do all of those things, then we find out that sometimes it's hard to forgive. It's your husband or wife or this or that. It's hard to forgive. You know, now this forgiveness goes along also with love. You know, love, love, love. What is the story? There's a song we used to sing when I was a young man. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Anybody know that song? You know? So, back then, we were taught that it was the love of God that drew salvation's plan. But it's in the Bible, actually. It's not just some story. You know, it's in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So it's the love of God that made him to do what he did. But the story is in forgiveness. It wasn't just the giving of his son. It was the forgiving of our sins. He gave his son in order to forgive our sins. You know, so forgiveness is like giving something ahead of time. You know, for, you know, if you spell it like this, F-O-R-G-I-V-I-N, is how it is spelled. But if you spell it like F-O-R-E-G-I-V-E, you know, if you spell forgive like that, that's like ahead, you give ahead before they even do anything. In other words, before they even deserve it. You know, that's what God did for us. You know, he forgave us in Christ Jesus already. All we got to do is, you know, confess our sins, turn our lives around, and we got it. But, you know, real power, and I'm going to talk about love in just a few minutes. But let me just talk about this. Real power with the Lord sometimes has to do with forgiveness. And we forget. You know, one time Jesus, there's a story, a very good story, you know, that we read in the Bible here, you know, Mark chapter 11. Jesus one day was going somewhere and then, you know, he wanted to get some fruit off the tree that looked like it had some fruit and he didn't have any. So he said, well, that's it. You're done. Nobody eat of you again. And they left. Then they came back the next day and the thing had dried up in its roots. And they said, wow, this was the tree that you cursed yesterday and all that. And Jesus said to them, from verse 22 of Mark 11, have faith in God. And then he began to give them a good principle and said, look, what you've seen done to this tree is nothing. But, you know, if you believe in your heart, in fact, if you have a grain of a faith like a grain of mustard seed, he said, in another place, you can say he was probably looking to some mountain there. I don't know, Mount Olivet or whatever. He was looking at some mountain there and said, look, if you can say, if you have faith in your heart, you don't doubt it at all, you say to this mountain, remove from yonder place and be dumped into the sea, it will certainly obey you. And then they said, somebody raising their hand? Who was raising their hand? Oh, you were raising your hand. Sorry, I wasn't paying attention. Thank you for pointing it out to me. Sorry.
I guess I always struggle with this concept of forgiveness because sometimes if you have forgotten about something, have you truly forgiven? Because if you ask me, there's some things I have actually forgotten about. But so I want to know if I've truly forgiven. If I can't remember the event, does that mean I've just forgotten? Or have I truly forgiven? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's some things I can't Maybe if I think very hard and I may remember some things, but sometimes I feel like, have I truly forgiven or have I just gotten over
forgotten.
It? Have I forgotten or, you know what I
mean? Yeah. And we can answer that, but she wants to say.
I do remember it, but kind of annoys you a little bit, but you're not upset, typically forgive.
Say that again.
If you do remember something that happened in the past,
right,
and you're kind of irritated by it or something, it's like, I'll truly forgive, I'm not upset with the person, I don't use it against them, I just don't remember, and it's like, it's kind of annoying that happened or something, you know?
So if you remember it, okay. So let's analyze this. Let's analyze this. You know, there's a difference between forget and forgive. And Jesus didn't tell us to forget.
Yeah.
What he told us to do was to forgive. And some people say, well, struggle with that, forgive, but I don't forget. He didn't tell us to forget anything. In fact, God is the one God's the only one that has the true capacity to forget and remember our sins no more. You know, he has that capacity to do that. He said, I will blot out your transgressions and I will remember them no more. Now, whether we forget or not, it's not the same thing as forgive. Now, but if something has happened, now time has a way of healing things. You know, time naturally heals. You know, enough time passes, people forget. But that doesn't mean true forgiveness. If you remember and there's still some element of bitterness, then it wasn't forgiven. You know, right? We just forgot because of time. But even when if you start praying, this is what I do. If you start praying and you don't remember, you can put it all to the Lord. It's like when we pray the prayer of salvation, we don't remember every sin that we ever sinned. We just tell the Lord everything. Say, well, Lord, forgive my sins. You know, so we can do the same. We can say, Lord, I release the people that I'm holding grudge against or whatever. Even if you don't remember the specifics, you can pray that prayer and say, Lord, even those that are in my subconscious and those that I don't remember, I release them, And you can still do that, even though you don't remember specifically, So, but let's be careful that just forgetting something doesn't necessarily mean that we forgive, because the day you remember, it might trigger some unhappiness or uneasiness or so forth. Yes. You have a question?
Yes. Okay. I know in the scripture it tells you which time is possible.
What's that? What's the question?
Well, for forgiveness, for
yes.
Me, okay. If you struggle with that forgiveness part and you have this bitterness because it's a sin, I think, when you have bitterness, and even though you don't have that much sin, any little sin is a sin. But my thing is, forgiveness, I've always felt like someone has to earn it. You can't just be forgiven and it's repetitious. They keep doing the things that are not right to you.
Well, let me answer that. So
yeah.
How do we deal with that, right?
Yeah.
Well, you may have missed the part where we talked about the question that Peter asked the Lord and say, how many times will I forgive? My brother does the same thing to me 7 times. Is that enough? And the Lord said, no, 490 times. And I said, if Peter had said 10 times, the Lord might have said 100 times 10 times. He just used the word that he's used 7 times. So let's assume that it's even 490 times. I don't know that there's anybody here that somebody has done something against you 490 times. The same thing. That's a long time. That's a many, many times. But the principle is, if they ask for forgiveness, we forgive them. And even if they don't ask for forgiveness, we forgive them for our own sakes. because if we don't forgive, this is what we've been reading all day long here in the scriptures. If you don't forgive, then your Heavenly Father will not forgive you as well. Now, whether it's repetitious or not, that's not the case. The thing is this. If the Lord were to deal with us with the same rule that, look, I've had it to hear. I mean, this guy's done this thing 10 times and so forth. I mean, how long am I going to deal with this thing? You know, and so if the Lord were to do that, there would be none of us sitting there today. You know, say, look, you know, you've done this and I forgive you. And but you see, we're always going back and asking the Lord for forgiveness. And he forgives us. And so we must extend that same forgiveness. Now, as far as earning the forgiveness, yes. We're not saying that people should take liberty for license. You know, because Jesus said, look, offenses must needs come. But woe unto the man through whom it comes. You know, so don't be the, we should not be the instrument of aggravation to somebody else just because we think they must forgive us. That person that thinks that way doesn't have the seed of Christ in them. You know, so, but it is our responsibility to forgive them. You know, whether they are doing it one time, 2 times, or 10 times, or 100 times, it's our responsibility. And sometimes they may not actually earn the forgiveness, you know, but that's where forgive, you know, you give it even though they didn't earn it. You know, it's like the grace of God to us. We didn't earn it, but he forgives. And most of the time, people pray and ask for God's forgiveness, and they're not, their heart is not there. But God might, you know, still forgive us, you know, but, and because people go right back and do the same thing. You know, I mean, I know people, all of us that are sitting here, there is prayer that we've asked the Lord forgive us. Maybe some disobedience to the Holy Spirit or whatever. We ask the Lord forgive us and we go right back and do the same thing 2 days later or even a few minutes later. The Holy Spirit tells you something, you don't pay attention. And then you say, oh, and then the Holy Spirit convinces you, come back. You know, I'm just talking of some of those religious sins. You know, I don't want to talk about the less carnal, I mean the more carnal ones. You know, but we all have this, the same, you know, thing with the Lord. We're asking the Lord to forgive us. It doesn't matter how many times. If he forgives us, we truly confess our sins. We must extend the same. Now, the word of God is non-negotiable. We cannot, let me stress that, we cannot parcel God's word out and just do it this way or do it the other way and so on. No. We must do it the way God says it. And this is the way God says it. It's not easy, but that's where we pray that God should help us. But let me finish that story in Mark 11. And he talked about them moving that mountain and so forth like that. Mark 11:23 and 24. And he said, what things, you know, I mean, if you can say something and you believe it and you don't doubt that what you say shall come to pass, that you shall have whatsoever you say. You know, and he, you know, he said, look, you know, when you pray, believe and you shall have whatever you're praying for. And then verse 25, which is the critical part, which many of us forget, you know, let's turn to Mark 11 and 25. You can read it from verses 22 to 25 and you will see what I just described. But verse 25 says, and when you stand praying, forgive. Because, you know, this power to move mountains, this power to do all these kind of things, to have your prayer answered. Basically, Jesus is saying in Mark 11:25 that your prayer, you know, may not be answered. Because he said, when you stand praying for the mountain to be removed, or whatever it is that, you know, challenge you're facing, when you start praying those kind of prayers, you better forgive. And that's where the real power of faith comes in. You know, so that's why sometimes our prayers are not as effective as they could be. Sometimes our prayers are hindered. Sometimes our prayers are delayed because there are elements of unforgiveness, as we see in this section here. But let me quickly move on to the second part of this thing that has to do with love. Because love and forgiveness, they go together. You can't have one without the other. That's a story, like there's a song like that or something. You know, love and marriage, you can't have one without the other. But anyway, the love and forgiveness, you truly can't have one without the other. You know, but the best places to read this next discussion that we want to talk about will be the epistle, the first epistle of John. Those are the best places to read these things. chapter 3 and chapter 4. I mean, it talks a lot about it. And the summary of it is, I don't want to take time to read the whole scriptures because we're just discussing, but I may point out one or two verses. The summary of it is, here's what he says. You know, we should love indeed and not love in word. In fact, you know, and he goes on to say that, look, how can we say that we love God, whom we have not seen, when we don't love our brother or our sister, whom we see every day? I mean, you know. And then he goes on to say, look, this is how we know. Now, and this is, you know, look, there's some real secrets and real gems to this love and forgiveness. You want to have long life? You want to have, you know, like the Bible says in another place, you know, who you see that loves life, let him eschew evil and so forth like that. And I say, look, let him forgive and let him love his brother. I put that in there as well. You know, now, he says, look, this is how we know we've passed from death unto life, when we love the brethren. So you want to have good long life? You better love the brethren, because love moves you from death unto life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's how we know it. The love moves us from death unto life. This is how we know that we love, I mean, that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. Moreover, he goes on to give us the corollary, which is the opposite of that. And he says, like, look, if you don't love, then you've never seen God. You don't know God. But if you do love, then you know God and you're born of God. And then moreover, he said, look, if anybody who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life living in him. So these are serious subjects, folks. So now that I've summarized it, in case you are wondering if all those things are in the Bible, let me just read a few of the verses to us. Let's turn to 1 John. Just a few of the verses that I just quoted. You'd have to read several chapters here in John to get it all. But if we, when you have time, when you get home, read all of it. Chapters 3, there's a lot of things in there, and then chapters 4 as well. But I'm going to read from verse 14 of chapter 3. That's 1 John, the letter, not the gospel. 1 John chapter 3. We know that we have passed, 1 John 3:14. We know we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So, I mean, you know, short life may be as a result of not loving the brethren, is what the scripture is saying. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. And he goes on about talking about, look, if you have this world's goods and so forth, and somebody comes to you, I ask you for something and you don't give it to him, how do I let the love of God in you? And then he goes on and talks about all these things. Let me jump to chapter 4. Beloved, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son to the world that we might live through him. Now herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And it goes on and goes on and talks about so many other things. He even talks about, you know, love and fear and so forth. Listen to verse 18. I'm just jumping around here because I don't want to read all of it. Let me start from verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now, we love him because he first loved us. Now, if a man say, I love God, and he hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he sees on a daily basis, or whom he has seen, how can he say that he loves God, whom he has not seen? I mean, so, this scripture, although I'm talking about love here, I'm talking about love and forgiveness together, and I'm saying that, look, you can't really forgive somebody when the love of God is not there. But when the love of God is there, the Bible says the love of God constrains us. And the love of God is there, we can truly forgive. Now, forgiveness is not some apron that we wear or something that we do like the Pharisees, or love is not something that we, you know, like that. You know, true love, I mean, we're talking about the true love of God, you know, the love of God. And when we love, even the scripture says, look, if you love somebody, you will love their children also. You know, he that, you know, if you love somebody that begat, you will love somebody that is begotten of them as well. That's what the scripture says. You know, so, I mean, all of you that have kids here, you know, I love you and I love your kids. I love the kids running around. I see my friends because I love them. I love their kids. Now, if we love God, then we should love God's children. Praise the Lord. That's right. You know, I mean, if you love me, if I'm your friend, you naturally you like my kids as well, just because they're my kids and because you love me. You know, same thing. If you love God, then you should naturally love his children. Now, some people would like to deny their brother and their sister, but they've got another thing coming. You know, you can't just say, well, I'm no longer part of this family. I don't know. What's the word? I can't. Huh? Yeah, you can't disown. You know, you can't disown your brother or your sister. You can't do it. If the God is their father and God is your father, then you are brothers or sisters. Amen. Some people don't like that, you know, and they behave as if, you know, they are not brothers and sisters. But you can't do it. You know, we are part of the same family. Praise the Lord. And we must forgive. Now, some people may not have a seat at the table because they cannot forgive. You know, and that table is love. You know, so love. Because what is it that is between the bridegroom and the bride? It's love. You know, love is what actually raptures the bride to the bridegroom. So, you know, some people may not have a seat at the table because there is no love in their hearts. So let us truly be praying that God will help us to do these things. Cleanse ourselves from the old leaven. The old leaven of hypocrisy and bitterness and all of these things and so forth. And that root of bitterness is like gall of wormwood, folks. I mean, it'll trouble you. You don't want that. You know, get rid of it. Somebody said one time that it's like cancer. Well, you know, hey, we don't need that. Since we started this fellowship today with the coming of the Lord, we want to also end it with the coming of the Lord in this exhortation. This is one of the things to prepare us for the coming of the Lord. Examine yourselves. Are you raising your hand, Chase? Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Examine yourselves with the word of God to see whether, you know, if you have quarrel against any. Do you know that even the Bible says something about your tithes and offerings when you bring your offerings into the house of God? You know, now he said, if you remember now, like, Brother Ruki said that, I don't remember. Well, if you don't remember, you don't remember. But if you do remember, you know, you are here at the church and you want to give your offering, you know, you do remember. I dare say you should pray and say, Lord, you know, help me. If there's anything in my mind, bring it to my remembrance. And then stop. Don't give the offering. You know, that's what Jesus said. Don't give that offering. Hold on to it. Go fix the problem and then come back and give your offering. That's how important these things are. And remember, the way he said it is, if you remember that your brother has aught against you, it's not even you necessarily that have aught against them, but you remember. You know, so this thing about relationships is so important. And we go back to the beginning, you look at the Ten Commandments. I mean, you see that majority of the commandments are about our relationships, one to another. Majority of it. That's why he said, these commandments are wrapped up into two. That's all you got to remember. You don't need to remember all the Ten Commandments, just need to remember two. What are they? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, and all your body, your soul, everything. And love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two commandments hang all what? The law and the prophets. Now, what is the love your neighbor as yourself? Well, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's thing, thou shalt not bear false witness. In all those things, you know, honor your father and your mother, all those things, they are relationship laws. You know, once he talks about the thing about God, then he drops down and talk about us. And spend a lot of things. And even when the young man came to Jesus, hey, you know, this and that, good master and all that. Jesus said, well, you know, he said, well, what shall I do to be saved? Jesus said, well, you know the law. What does the law say? And Jesus quoted all those relationship laws. Love thy father and honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. You know, if you love your neighbor, you're not going to steal his things. Love your neighbor as yourself. Praise the Lord. And the man said, well, I've done all of these things. And Jesus said, well, that's good. You know, but yet thou lackest one more thing. You know, are you rich towards God? You know, so, folks, one of the greatest ways to be rich towards God and be ready for his coming is get this foundation, which is love and forgiveness, get it all squared away right. You know, don't let anything hang over your head about unforgiveness, because a lot of people are going to miss the plane because of unforgiveness. And unfortunately, there will be no second chances after the train's gone. When that trumpet blows and people are gone, just like we saw the short clip, if you came late, you missed the clip. We saw the short clip when the rapture took place. Some people were gone, a lot of people were left, some people were left in the church. Now, you know, it'd be too late at that time to say, oh my goodness. Well, now is the time to clean house. Amen. Let's get our house in order. Get your house in order right now. Truly search your hearts and so forth. The psalmist said, search me, Lord, to see if there be any wicked thing in me. Well, unforgiveness is the most wicked thing. You know, search your heart to see if there be that in you. And some people have been hurt, you know, and so they carry that burden of unforgiveness throughout their lives. Well, if you're a believer, then you understand the message of forgiveness. Now, unbelievers can't understand it. There's just no way. You know, and I wonder, you know, when we talk about this, if people have difficulty understanding, you know, maybe they haven't understood even their own salvation, because our salvation is premised upon our own forgiveness to others. It's very important. You know, so let's think about it tonight. It's not that hard. Just practice it. You know, somebody said, you know, behave to the person as if you forgive them. You know, so, you know, maybe there was a nice thing you would have done, and you wouldn't do it because, you know, you are bitter and so forth. Well, if you forgive, just do that nice thing. You know, that's it. You know, give your enemy food. Give him water. Behave to them as if there wasn't an issue. You know, just, you know, that's how you do it. Now, it is not easy, especially when you think people have hurt you. And not just think, you know, sometimes, I'm not making light of it, sometimes people do hurt us. But, hey, that's it. You know, Jesus said it. I mean, it's a marvel not. This scripture we read in 1 John chapter 4. Marvel not if the world hate you. Marvel not if these things come up against you. These things are going to happen. It's going to happen to you. People are going to not like you. People are going to hate you. People are going to despitefully use you. People are going to persecute you. People are going to do all kind of manner of evil against you. But hopefully, falsely, even if anyone accuse you falsely, for my sake, rejoice. Because great is your reward in heaven. But you must forgive them. Praise the Lord. Let's stand up and pray. We must forgive. Let's try this prayer tonight. This so-called Lord's Prayer, let's try it and analyze it in our brains tonight. Remember how when we stand to pray, sometimes we say, Lord, forgive. You know, I want to get my sins out of wood away so that my prayer can be answered. Many people pray that prayer. It's a good prayer, but it's not a complete prayer. And it's inaccurate. The real prayer is, Lord, forgive me since I forgive others. Now, so if you don't qualify on the sins, well, then we need to pray and say, Lord, teach me, like Brother James said, teach me to forgive. Help me to forgive. Put the mantle of grace upon me that I may truly learn to forgive from my heart. Everybody that sinned against me or done this or quarrel or whatever, I must forgive. You know, and it's not all the time that you have to. We have to use wisdom. It's not all the time that you need to confront the person. You know, you just forgive them. You know, sometimes confrontation doesn't always work. You know, but if you do the best you can, you know, if they still don't listen, well, there's other things in the Bible for that. But I don't want to go into that tonight. Tonight is just prayer. So let's practice this aspect of this prayer that the Lord taught his disciples. Father, forgive us our sins, as we also forgive others. Let's practice that tonight. Let's practice, and I want us to take just a few minutes and think of any wrong, any quarrel, any whatever, you know, that's out there that's, you know, maybe preventing us from being in right standing with God. Now, if we have unforgiveness in our sins, in our hearts, then we are not in right standing with God. These are the things that are going to, it's like excess luggage. I'm going to hold people down. I'm going to miss the rapture. I may miss their seat in the table. So let's pray. Everybody, I want you to take a few minutes of prayer and pray that prayer the right way. Let's truly ask for forgiveness today for our sins. But let's ask forgiveness first for the other people that sinned against us. Just like Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let's pray the prayer of forgiveness for those people who have hurt us. Let's pray the prayer of forgiveness for those people who have despitefully used us. Let's pray the prayer of forgiveness for those people who have cursed us and those people that do persecute us for no just cause. Let's pray the prayer of forgiveness for them first before we even pray the prayer of forgiveness for ourselves. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when we are praying and the Holy Ghost convicts us of something, make sure that you respond. Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for this word that you have shared unto us, how that we must truly love one another and from the bottom of our hearts forgive everyone, our brother, their trespasses against us. Lord, these things are not easy. The Spirit truly is willing, but the flesh is weak. Therefore, Lord, we pray for grace. Grant us the grace and the humility to be able to truly love one another and forgive one another. In Jesus' name, amen. And Lord, I pray for those people who have hurt us. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Like Jesus prayed. Lord, we pray for those people that have persecuted us, those people that have despitefully used us, those people who have rewarded our good for evil. We pray for them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they did, in Jesus' name. And Father, Lord, let not the weight of unforgiveness become the gall of bitterness or gall of wormwood in our lives. Help us, O Lord, to purge out this old leaven of unforgiveness so that we may truly be in right standing with the Lord. And Lord, we thank you. Our hearts are clean. We declare tonight that our hearts are clean. I want you to declare that your heart is clean. Your heart is void of offense. Your heart is void of unforgiveness. Declare it. You know, I declare tonight in the name of Jesus that my heart is void of offense. My heart is void of unforgiveness in the name of Jesus Christ. And by this, I know that I have passed from death unto life because I love the brethren. This is a great secret, folks. It's a secret of longevity. It's a secret also, the power, the secret behind answered prayers, the power to move those miracles lies in this secret right here. And, you know, is there anybody that loves life? Let him eschew evil. Let him love from his heart, truly, everyone his brother, and let him truly forgive all their trespasses. Then, saith the Lord, their life will be prolonged. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise. I give you all the glory for teaching us this tonight. And Lord, as we go, let the knowledge of this truth be in our lives every day. Not just in our head, but in our lives, that we may exhibit forgiveness 7 times, 49 times, 490 times, no matter how many times it is, that we truly forgive our brother and our sister, our spouse, our friends, our co-members in the church, our congregation members, our pastors, whoever it is, our co-workers, we must truly forgive them so that we ourselves might be assured of a seat on the table and of God's forgiveness. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful truth. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I love that man of Galilee, for he has done so very much for me. He has forgiven me all my sins and give the Holy Ghost with it. I love the man of Galilee. I love the man of Galilee, for he has done so very much for, very much for me. He has forgiven sins and given me the Holy Ghost within. I love the man of Galilee. The same way that he has forgiven us, even so do ye in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord be gracious unto us. The Lord be kind unto us according to the multitude of his mercies. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us his peace. And the Lord grant us the mantle of humility to truly love one another and truly forgive one another. In Jesus' name, amen.